Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Strange and Unusual podcast early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This is Strange and Unusual Headlines with Allison Horrocks. And welcome to this week's headline. Ouija board again brings marvelous mysterious messages. The Ogden Standard, December 11th, 1915. Headline: Ouija board again brings marvelous mysterious messages. Subheadline: Patience Worth, mythical character, startles literary world with her quaint English in essays, plays, and novels. Noted writers are puzzled over the output of this woman, supposed to have lived 300 years ago. Article: The Ouija board is coming back into favor, and has been taken up quite extensively by society women in New York, Boston, Chicago, St. Louis, and various parts of the country. Perhaps the most remarkable recent experiences with it are those of Mrs. John Curran of St. Louis. She has been in communication, she says, with the spirit of Patience Worth, a woman believed to have existed in the colonial days, and who not only has sent philosophical axioms that are characteristic of the Puritans, but even has gone to the extent of sending outlines of plays and essays, and has gone extensively into the dictation of poetry. More than 300,000 words have been received from this supposed spirit in 3 years. Patience Worth talks in a strange English that is archaic and not found in the best authors, and yet may have at one time been the tongue of inhabitants of this country. Long condemned by religious as the direct agency of Satan, and by skeptics as the toy of the superstitious, the Ouija board is being restored to its own former popularity through the curiosity of society women. In many parts of the country, society women are devoting their time to communicating with spirits in the other world. Many strange results of such communications are reported, and a society woman is unhappy indeed if she hasn't at least one good spirit in the world of mystery, who is always ready to send a message at her control's pleasure. Even in staid St. Louis, where society women are supposed to be very conservative, the Ouija board has been restored to favor. While in New York, and in various cities of the East, it is quite the rage. In St. Louis, Mrs. John H. Curran has gotten into touch with one patient's worth of spirit land and has transcribed more than 300,000 words through the Ouija board, all of which will be published at some future date. Patience Worth is believed, from her peculiar choice of words and phraseology, to be a colonial dame who has been wandering about in space for a long time, burning to send her messages back to the mundane sphere, yet finding no source of communication, until Mrs. Curran bought a Ouija board and commenced taking messages. Through Curiosity. The board was purchased through curiosity. There is something fascinating about the tales told of the little board, whether they be true or false. It is known that a number of people have asked the board to tell them in what land their dead relatives lingered, and were shocked considerably when the naughty little board spelled out a word starting with an H and ending with an L. Many have thought that the words written by the board were the result of the mental influences of the person operating it, while others have credited it with supernatural powers. In the use of the board at the Curran home, Mrs. Curran always is one of two whose hands are on the board. The latter is arranged on two wheels and has a pencil at the end. As the vibration of the fingers of the holders develops, the pencil moves over a sheet of paper and prints numerals or letters of the alphabet. While Mrs. Curran operates the board, her husband transcribes the message as she reads it to him. The Patient's Worth matter began to be transcribed in June 1913. Since that time, Mrs. Curran has made public as the products of Patience Worth a six-act play entitled Red Wing, a novel called Telka, and numerous verses, essays, and bits of philosophy. The quaint language of these writings has probably attracted more attention than their literary merit, the latter being a matter of some discussion. They are in an antique language, not the English of Chaucer, Spenser, or any other well-known classic English writer, but possibly more like the common speech of the English people of an early day. It is known to travelers that an antique, almost archaic form of English is still spoken in remote communities of England. There are districts of England whose inhabitants have great difficulty in understanding or making themselves understood by the Coster Cockney class. Mrs. Curran, however, says she has no personal acquaintance with such speech, and she has not gone farther in her study of classic English than other well-read persons. The language used by Patience Worth, she explains, is as strange to her as it is to others. Mrs. Curran recently gave to the Papyrus Club of St. Louis some of her messages from Patience Worth, one of them being a special message that Patience had sent the club. It read, Patience Worth's message. Good dames and sarahs, at the board thou hast sat, and eat of earth's grow. Aye, and now do ye eat, O the grow thou knowest not the rooting place of. Yea, thou shalt hark unto the word, O men, and yet they do to prate, O dame. And methinks 'tis a word aspoke a many, that be not the word that hid pon the tongue, lest the dame be offended. I, then come thou and sit about the board, and thine ear shall hark unto the words, O me, and thou shalt see the cloth, O me, the hands, O the loves, O me, did to fashion out for me. Aya, I then shall sit me meek, and thread me up a bobbin's full for the next O put. Aya, and 'tis frocked that I shall to be, and nay dame shall see, a woe. Nay, this be a piddle puddings, good folk. Within thy heart shall set the me, O me, at thy, O hence, and 'tis a hope I be, 'tis a loving wampeth 'twill find, and so dost thou to smile. 'Tis sweets and love I cast thee, and doth my heart to shut it up. Lo, then shall I to knock till thou dost leave me in. A night, O cheer, a night, O love, a God's wish, O loving, pawn thy day. A night, a night. How it began. Mrs. Curran told her audience of her first experiences with the Ouija board and of the puzzling messages received. Later, she used the board together with Mrs. Emily Grant Hutchings and began to receive sentences which formed maxims and philosophical paragraphs. Then came the announcement, quote, many moons ago I lived, Patience Worth my name. If thou shalt live, then so shall I. I make my bread by thy hearth. End quote. The word bread, Mrs. Curran later learned, referred to the literary products embodied in the messages. Mrs. Curran said she would not attempt to say whether Patience Worth was a spirit, but spoke of her as a beautiful personality, which had come to seem not a mystery, but a fellowship. She said the messages came to her in daylight as well as at night, and that there is no trance connected with them. The words come in sort of a rhythm, Mrs. Curran explained, and I record just what comes, whether I understand it or not. Patience has been tested by more than 200 persons, and her messages have never varied. A professor from the University of Indiana visited Mrs. Curran to investigate her communication with Patience Worth. William Marin Reedy, editor of The Mirror, and Casper Yost, editor of a St. Louis newspaper, became acquainted with Patience Worth and both declare her genuine. Yost has described her as a spinster of uncertain age, a writer, but a poet by preference. While the average spirit stalks dismal and wailing lubriciously through the finite world, Patience comes with a laugh, Yost said. She remarks, I be no sorry singer, and proves it by many witticisms. Editor describes her. Reedy calls Patience doctrines pantheistic. He describes her as follows. She is a little woman dressed in gray, with a little bonnet, ribbons coming down and tied under her chin. There are lines in her face, not the rewritten wrinkles of the smiles or her youth, but the result of experience. Her eyes are brown like autumn leaves after a rain. She is between 45 and 50 years old. Sprightly, dainty, delicate. She has stood beside the stockade, helping a good man load a gun, while he defends the settlement against the savage horde of Indians. Reedy said the theory was advanced that she was killed in an Indian massacre, and this question was asked of her. She intimated that something of this sort had happened to her, and she was asked if she had not been taken captive by the Indians. Nay, something worse, was her reply. She speaks in English, almost pure and undefiled, Reedy said of her. There is an absence from it of all the derivatives of France and Rome, and she rarely uses a word of more than two syllables. Her answers are direct and almost invariably in parables. She has respect for her interlocutor's intelligence. Reedy said she is not another Sappho or George Eliot or Mrs. Humphrey Ward nor Sarah Teasdale, but rather echoes of all of the poets. He said there runs a consistent character through her works, and in 2 years she has not gotten out of character. She never has used a modern word or expression, and he illustrated the seeming significance of this by pointing out how difficult it would be for a man trained in Irish to make a 30-minute talk without breaking out of the character. She has nothing to tell, in my opinion, Reedy said, but she commands my admiration and reverence. She tells nothing that we have not heard from the old masters and bards. What of the divinity of Christ? Reedy at one time asked her through the Ouija board. She answered, He bought thee of his loving. What of love? He asked. The love there is, but the air drip of love here, came the response of the board. Describe the place where you are, she was asked. Think you there is bottom or top? This is a wall-less country. Can you do anything you want over there? The answer was, when you put the will, you put the limit. Put, in patient's vocabulary, responds to the modern verb, to do. Patience may be a second personality of Mrs. Curran, Reedy says, but she teaches a love that is greater than we can conceive, and that death is the keeper of unknown redemption. Little Colonial Dame.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Graduation is a sweet occasion, but finding the perfect gift can be a bitter struggle. MMS.com has a solution. Personalized M&Ms. Just imagine the look on your grad's face when they receive a custom candy creation featuring their school's colors, name, and even their photo printed right on some M&Ms. It's a thoughtful way to celebrate their accomplishments and make the occasion even more special. Visit MMS.com to create your own personalized gifts and party favors for graduations, weddings, birthdays, and more. That's MMS.com. Use code WONDERY to receive 15% off your next order.
Mrs. Emily Hutchings, who was one of the first to receive with Mrs. Curran the messages from Patience Worth, so the first glimmering on the quaint personality of the little colonial dame came in the maxim, a busy saw gathereth no rust. One of the sentiments expressed by Patience Worth is, a blighted bud may hold a sweeter message than the loveliest flower, for God hath kissed her wounded heart and left a promise there. Of the seances, Mrs. Curran says, I sit with a friend, our hands upon the board, which I have come to believe is nothing more than a concentrator. There is no trance. Everything is quiet with the exception of Patience Worth. The only definite part is that while I put my thoughts awhither, as patients would say, and immediately the stories, poems, plays, parables, or whatever her work for the sitting may be, is shown to me in tiny pictures, beautiful and distinct as though my eyes saw them. The characters move and speak, and my hands fly over the letters much too fast for me to anticipate even one word. I cannot account for the language. The words seem to be spoken to me, though I cannot say I hear them in the sense that we hear the voice that speaks aloud to us. The words come in sort of a rhythm. I am not familiar with Old English, and yet even the conversations are in this archaic tongue. Psychologists recently have taken up a study of Mrs. Curran and the mysterious Patience Worth. Some believe that Patience Worth is Mrs. Curran's subconscious self. Others have departed in doubt and without expressing an opinion. The Ouija board has been condemned by various religious bodies, but society is taking it up beside these prohibitions. The Catholic Church has condemned it as a superstitious practice. Other religious bodies have declared that the devil is in the board and employs it to send his messages. Whatever the truth may be, society has gone into the mystery of the board, not so much with the object of definitely deciding if it really is the medium of communication with the other world, but to gratify society's chief attribute, curiosity. So right off, I want to address the racism in the article before I get into anything else. Historical newspapers in the West are almost always written from the point of view of the white European colonizer. They are the default good guys. This attitude is made clear in this article when they address how Patience died, supposedly fighting with indigenous people. There really is no nuance or critical thought used in reporting on these specific situations. And I actually think it's important for us to read these kinds of reports from the time, so we are much more in touch with the history of inherent racism in our society and culture in past eras, as well as today. Okay, so now let's get into this story. In 1915, it says the Ouija board was making a comeback, and it was all the rage with society women. And Mrs. Curran of St. Louis, Missouri was one of them. She was reportedly in communication with the spirit of Patience Worth, a woman who existed in America's colonial days, some 300 years earlier, who was also an aspiring writer, and used Mrs. Curran to do so. Patience Worth was said to speak in a strange, archaic English, a version of the language, they guessed, that was common to country folk in parts of England. And the communication between the two women began in June of 1913. Mrs. Curran, through the course of their long Ouija board-enabled relationship, transcribed a six-act play, a novel, as well as many essays Patience dictated to her. In the article, a message from Patience Worth to the Papyrus Club of St. Louis is printed, and I have to say I have no idea what it means. There are bits of the message I was able to get the gist of, but the general message of the thing, I have no idea. If anyone can figure out exactly what it says, feel free to let me know. The article ends with an ambiguous take on Mrs. Curran's claim by mentioning many psychologists believe that Patience is Mrs. Curran's subconscious self. Such a strange and unusual story. So I did some more digging, and another article came up immediately from 5 years later. San Francisco Examiner, January 25th, 1920. Headline: The Baby That Is Being Raised by a Ghost. Subheadline: Spectral Messages from the Other World for the Daily Guidance of Little Patience Worth Wee who says she was commanded by a spirit to go forth, find a certain infant, and adopt it. Article. Every public library and all the bookstores have on their shelves one or more novels by Patience Worth. But there is no such living human being as Patience Worth. She is a spook, a spirit, a ghost, a voice from the world beyond the grave, it is claimed. These entertaining and rather well-written novels were dictated by the spirit of Patience Worth to Mrs. John B. Curran of St. Louis, Mrs. Curran solemnly asserts. Mrs. Curran says she wrote every word of these novels and many poems on a Ouija board, word for word, as the spectral voice of Patience Worth whispered them in her ear. But these spooky novels are not what this page deals with today. A more interesting thing is being done by this spook, according to Mrs. Curran and her friends. Patience Worth commanded Mrs. Curran, who is childless, to search for a certain red-headed, blue-eyed infant with dark lines in them, whose father was English and mother was Scotch. Such a baby was found and adopted by Mrs. Curran. And this child, embodying today, features in parentage similar to Patience Worth, who died 250 years ago, is being brought up by its spectral godmother. Day by day, Patience Worth gives Mrs. Curran a Ouija board message of advice about little Patience Worth Wee, whenever it is needed. 6 years ago, Mrs. John H. Curran of St. Louis, a peculiarly healthy-minded, normal young woman, who was the wife of the former Immigration Commissioner of Missouri, began for amusement to experiment with the Ouija board. This peculiar instrument for receiving messages from the beyond consists of a flat wooden board, about 2 feet long by 1.5 wide, on which are the letters of the alphabet, the numerals up to 10, and the words yes, no, don't know, and goodbye. A little heart-shaped table on three legs is placed on top of the board. The sitters place the board upon their knees, the fingertips of both hands lightly upon the table-shaped table. After a while, an influence, spirit, or spook, begins to move the heart-shaped board, whose narrow end then points to the letters spelling out the words of its message. A third person, an observer, acts as a amanuensis, taking down the letters as the pointer indicates them. The messages are accounted for by non-spiritualists as an expression of the subconscious self of one or both of the sitters. The mysterious movement of the table is supposed to be due to unconscious muscle rhythms of the hands of the sitters. Whatever the explanation, Mrs. Curran began to hear from someone who signed herself Patience Worth and who spelled out upon the board sentences in remarkable English, archaic, a forgotten dialect. This ghostly personage speedily developed into the strongest kind of a personality. She had been, she wrote, a maiden of Dorsetshire, England, who lived about 1650. She was a weaver's daughter, an only child. She wrote that my thumb is thick from the twisting flax, and speaks of delivering fine linen to the castle folk. Her father left to come to America, and after the death of her mother, Patience says she followed him to the New World. She was then 35. Her new home was in the vicinity of Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. Near there, she was buried, and now, she says, a tree grows out of my grave. Soon, she began to dictate stories and poems with extraordinary rapidity and facility. The first book published was Patience Worth. The Sorry Tale, a story based on the episode of the impotent thief on the cross, came out in 1916. And Hope True Blood, the last book, was a story of Old England. The remarkable literary excellence of these writings attracted widespread attention. Their dialect passed every test of experts. It was proven that Mrs. Curran had no previous knowledge of them, nor had she the education displayed by the communications. Dr. Martin F. Prince, the famous neurologist, diagnosed Patience as a subconscious personality of Mrs. Curran, and offered to rid her of it by hypnotism. Mrs. Curran refused to have Patience banished by this means or any other, and scoffs at the subconscious theory. Other distinguished scientists studied her case, but with no better results. For 3 years, the ghost of Patience Worth, or whatever it is that responds to that name, had been dictating to Mrs. Curran by means of the Ouija board as a concentrator. One book had been printed, another was on the way to the printer. The first book was already promising an excellent sale. Reviews had been flattering, and the public was becoming interested. Then one evening, after the Curans had been discussing this materialistically agreeable result of the manifestations, Patience Worth exploded a bombshell and the quaint old English words which she uses. She announced that inasmuch as there seemed to be some money in sight, and since it did not belong to the Curans but to God, that they should seek a wee babe that had nothing and take it and care for it. This was indeed disconcerting. The Curran house was a well-filled one. There was a grandfather, a mother-in-law, a stepdaughter, and a husband and wife. Besides, they had counted upon using the money for themselves. Patience, however, was determined and explicit. She caustically called attention to the fact that the emoluments of her book did not belong to those who simply took down her dictation, but that as the author and mainspring of the volume, the returns from it were hers to do with as she pleased. "I am a weaver of cloth," said Patience on that night, in the curious imagery she loves to use, "and this cloth I weave is not for him who hath. Thou shalt seek a wee one who hath not, and thou shalt deliver the goods of me unto its hands, and ye shalt speak its name, Patience Worth." This was an order, not a request. And to it, when the first shock of surprise had worn off, the Curans gladly bowed. "Look ye," the ghost went on, "this shall be one who is sorely in need, mind ye. Ye shall whisper sweets unto it, even unto the wee ear that knoweth not thy words, and tell unto it of a fairy dame who shall minister unto it, and of him who sent her. And she shall be the love of all who love me, and shall smile sweets unto them." "But why a girl instead of a boy?" the Curans asked anxiously. "Ye see," answered Patience, cryptically enough, "a man, laddie, hath man's cunning, but the wee dames, ah, I know." The Curans quite naturally asked about the parentage of the child, its legitimacy, and many other important things, not the least of which was a description of it so that they might know when they had found the babe Patience had in mind. She gave them certain directions, rather vague, told them not to mind Earth's law but God's, referring unquestionably to the matter of parentage, and to watch close if there were any blood taints, but not to go back further than the grandparents. She wanted the child dressed simply, she concluded, and asked that, "about its neck thou shalt hang a sign of him." The Curans had, rightly it turned out later, construed this to mean a cross. "Ye shall be upon the path, Even now, the wee one is waiting, she urged. So the hunt began for a child who would answer the description. The entire Patienceworth clan was sent out on the search. Two physicians were selected to examine it when found for a blood taint. Much ground was covered in the next month. There were handicaps, an interesting one, the refusal by a certain large St. Louis foundling institution to allow any baby to be taken from there because Mrs. Curran wrote on a Ouija board. During this search, Patience, who seems to have a strange sense of humor at times, remained silent. Then one night, according to Mrs. Curran, she directed them to cease, telling them there was no use in looking for one that was not whole, and that in due time certain signs would be given them whereby they would know what to do, adding that if they did continue, it would be like a wolf seeking for a fat fowl to feed well upon when the bird was still in the egg. After this, other weeks passed by without any reference being made by Patienceworth to the matter. Then one morning, Mrs. Curran met an old friend, whom she had not seen for years, and in the course of a ride together, told some of the details of the quest for the baby. The friend, in return, told of a young wife who was about to become a mother, who was practically homeless and friendless, and whose husband had been killed sometime before in a mill accident. That night, a message from Patienceworth indicated that at last the Qurans were on the right track, and that which she had prophesied was about to occur. The next day, Mrs. Curran went to see this woman who was very ill. A fever of preparation began immediately. Layette cradle, perambulator, lawyers, adoption papers. Everything was made ready just as though the thing was already settled. Seemingly the possibility that the expected child might be a boy was never for a moment considered. The mother-to-be signed the adoption papers, but held them under the agreement that if she lived, she was to keep the expected child. But that if she died, then the Curans were to have the baby. 6 weeks later, as Mrs. Curran was writing with patience upon the now well-known sorry tale, the ghost stopped the dictation at exactly 9 o'clock. "This be enough," she wrote, and the board became quiet. Everyone was on tiptoe with expectation. It had been arranged that they should be called by phone at 10 o'clock for news of the birth, which had been imminent for some hours. On the hour, the telephone rang, and word came that a girl child had been born at exactly the moment when Patience had stopped the writing. When the child was seen, it had all the marks that were expected. Its hair was red, as Patienceworth had described her own. It had blue eyes with dark lines in them, like those which Patience had said she possessed when on Earth. Its parentage was the same as Patience, whose father, she had said, was English, and whose mother was Scotch. The baby's mother died 4 days later, and the child was legally adopted by the Curans, acting for Patienceworth. She was christened as Patienceworth, wee Curran, on November 26, 1916. The Reverend George Wales King, a prominent St. Louis minister officiating, Mrs. Charles H. McKee, an equally well-known social leader, is her godmother, and Casper S. Yost, editor of one of St. Louis's leading newspapers, is her godfather, with Dr. and Mrs. Major F. E. Woodruff, her sponsors. The ghost having thus picked out her child, having watched over its entrance into this world, having given all essential directions for its discovery, Was it not to be expected that she would now take a most active part, just like any real flesh and blood mother, in bringing it up? Patience soon answered this question in no uncertain way. It was clear that she intended to have a finger in every detail. Clothing, feeding, education, play, and all elements of the child's life. And here must be raised the interesting question of just what relationship Patience Worth claims to little Patience Worth Wee Curran. Does she assume to be its actual mother? Even admitting that there is such a disembodied entity as Patience Worth, what possible physical influence could a ghost of a woman dead, on her own account, almost 300 years have upon the raising of a child? In some undefinable way,
the spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
She is subconscious personality, phantom of the Ouija board, or whatever one may determine to call it, as part certain actual physical ties. She points, for instance, to the resemblance of hair and eyes. It is a relationship that even the Qurans do not pretend to understand, something hopeless to those who stand outside the mystic maze of spiritualism. That Patience considers herself the spiritual mother is positive. It is also certain that she thinks of herself in terms of a flesh and blood mother as well. According to her story, as told by Mrs. Curran, Patience lived and died a spinster. Mrs. Curran herself is childless. Nothing better can be done than give Mrs. Curran's own explanation of this extraordinary condition of affairs. Of course, she said, the hands of Patience Worth are invisible, and so where they are laid, in guidance or in smiting, often is not discernible. That she is become a member of our household, having much to do with everything in connection with raising of the babe, I thoroughly believe. The times, however, are rare when she has, in so many words, told us what to do. Like a good superintendent, she confines her orders to the times when she sees us going wrong. And as long as we are going right, nothing is said. The babe was a weakling at first, and it was often predicted that we would never raise it. Early in its life, we had trouble with its food, and the family doctor attempted to lighten its food in order to let it recuperate, not realizing the danger of starvation in the meantime. Patience at this moment stepped in and told us it must have pap, pap, and more pap. And when we called in our specialist, he began right away to fill it up with pap, and it soon got all right. Another time, when some trouble was on, Patience told us to herb it, and when we asked what herb to give it, she said catnip and fennel. We sent for some. And then the doctor came, we told him of it. He laughed as he told us that he had brought a bottle of it along with him for the baby. But we have given the child good care physically. The mental and spiritual part of it, the most important part, we are of course the most anxious about. Its mentality is positively astounding. At 2 years of age, it was singing songs to a banging accompaniment on the piano and was talking much. At 3 years, it was saying everything it hears and putting sentences together in a startling original way. Once we asked Patience if the child would be something out of the common, and she replied that this was not her hope, that if it would grow to shed one pure ray of God's light, she would be satisfied. I have gathered from Patience, went on Mrs. Curran, that she not only takes the keenest delight in having this child of her own, but she has hopes that the fact of her having adopted it may encourage others to do the same, and thus the little helpless arms that are now raised to blank ceilings and reach no mothering breast, and the little weak voices that call for the mother and hear no answering word, may be given at least a mother's love once removed, and thus feed the life of the child and the heart of the one who takes it. Patience, says Mrs. Curran, prefers very plain dress, somewhat on the order of the old Puritan style. Somber clothes of drab and gray, possibly touches of white at the wrist and neck. She wants her shoes amply large and comfortable, and is against anything that will bind the body in any way. The baby looks very attractive in the poke bonnet, pettiskirt, bodice, and cape of the old Puritan days. But the temptation is to put on frills. Such is the unique story of the baby, who is being raised by a ghost. In this situation lies a most interesting possibility, which has already served as a theme for several motion picture stories. That is, the development of a child who later becomes the central figure. The priestess, if not the goddess of a religious sect, which has grown up around her. Clearly, to those who believe that little Patience Worth Wee is an actual link between the spiritual world and this material world, she becomes a unique personality. A child set apart from others. She provides a nucleus for just such a religious order as in imagination the motion pictures have dealt with. Already, as Mrs. Curran says, she has received presents from all quarters of the world. What is to be her future? So once again, right off, racism. Referring to blood taint in a child is written here as if it's just a normal thing people say. Obviously, reading this is very jolting for us today. And it reminds me a bit of the eugenics movement that was starting to take off around that time. Anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that really quick. And as for the rest of the article, a couple of things I found odd. Well, the whole thing is odd, but anyway. Here we have a dead woman choosing a baby for the Curans to raise through a Ouija board, but the child is meant to be hers and named after her as well. Oh, and also dressed like a Puritan. And one of the inconsistent things here is in the dress. When it's reported that Patience told them that the child needed to wear a cross around her neck. Well, that's a very un-Puritan thing to do. Also, isn't it odd how they keep referring to the child as it? Since doing the headline episodes, I notice they do this a lot in old newspapers when it comes to very young children. I looked more into the story because, well, first of all, I wanted to find out Mrs. Curran's name. Pearl is her name, by the way. But also, what happened with Pearl Curran and Patience Worth? And what was that relationship all about? But quickly, before I get into that, I did look up what PAP was. As they mentioned, Patience told Pearl to give it to the baby when she wasn't thriving. PAP is listed in most 17th to 19th century infant care books, and it is a semi-solid food made of flour or breadcrumbs cooked in water, with or without milk. It's like a gruel or thin porridge. Pearl was born on February 15th, 1883, in Mound City, Illinois, the only child in her family. Pearl was an intelligent girl, but due to a nervous disorder, she did not do well in school and dropped out of high school in her first year. Pearl also had an extreme dislike for her own appearance, often concerned that she was ugly when, in reality, she was considered conventionally attractive. If she were alive today, she might be diagnosed with body dysmorphic disorder. In 1907, 24-year-old Pearl married John Curran, a divorced father, 15 years her senior. Pearl first began dabbling with a Ouija board in 1912 with her friend Emily Hutchings. Typically, Ouija board messages were short and to the point. However, one evening, as Pearl sat around the board with Emily and her mother Mary, the planchette began to jump quickly between letters and delivered prose that read in part, quote, "A leaf falls and nestles close to the earth. But ah, the message she once sent to spring. So 'tis with thee. Then nestle close on thy last day. But leave a message like the leaf to come again in spring." End quote. In writing of her performances, Smithsonian Magazine said, "Those who witnessed the performances, some of them leading scholars, feminists, politicians, and writers, believed they'd seen a miracle. I still confess myself completely baffled by the experience." Otto Heller, dean of the graduate school at Washington University in St. Louis, recalled years later. Additionally, Smithsonian reported, though her works are virtually forgotten today, the prestigious Brathwaite anthology listed five of her poems among the nation's best published in 1917, and the New York Times hailed her first novel as a feat of literary composition. Her output was stunning. In addition to seven books, she produced voluminous poetry, short stories, plays, and reams of sparkling conversation. Nearly 4 million words between 1913 and 1937. Some evenings she worked on a novel, a poem, and a play simultaneously, alternating her dictation from one to another without missing a beat. The Patience Worth case remains one of the most tantalizing literary and paranormal mysteries of the last century. Pearl Curran died in 1937, and since that time, no one had explained how she produced Patience's writing. So, dear audience, what are your guesses? Was Pearl really talking to a woman named Patience Worth? Did she have some sort of mental illness? I'd love to hear what you think. As for me, I believe Pearl was a highly creative, talented woman who was born too soon. Perhaps this was the only venue she had to channel her immense talent and art. Before you go, I would like to ask a favor, and that is to rate and review the podcast. It really helps, and I'd so appreciate it. Until next time, you can join the Strange and Unusual Podcast on Instagram at the Strange and Unusual Podcast and on Facebook as well. You can also email the podcast at thestrangeandunusualpodcast@gmail.com. And remember, as Poe said, there is no exquisite beauty without some strangeness in the proportion. So, stay strange. If you like the strange and unusual, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.